is in an electioneering year, and political parties are planning conventions and selling nomination forms for different positions. Now, the two major political parties in Nigeria have had their share of their ups and downs and have had issues with internal democracy and unity, basically, of the party with factions in different states. These two major parties are also having conversations and consultations on zoning formulas and zoning arrangements. Now, the APC, after much hiccups, has now finally set a date for its national convention where it will choose its national working committee and leaders of the APC. On this episode of the podcast, we look at the contest for the position of the national youth leader of the APC, a position in the NWC. Now, this position has been zoned to the southwestern part of the country, and a number of young people have indicated interest in this position and purchased forms for this position. I speak to two out of these candidates about the contest. Dada is 33 years old from Lagos State, a southwestern state in Nigeria, and he is also running for the position of the National Youth Leader of the APC. I get his take on what it's like to run for this position of the youth leader and how the contest has been for him so far. Let's start with the convention first. Do you think that that date for the convention is sacrosanct and it won't be moved again?
Every obstacle that could have stopped this convention, the March 26th date, from being sacrosanct, has been removed from the way. The court order that was trying to stop the convention has been vacated. The activities for the convention are starting. As I speak to you, I purchased my form on Tuesday and I submitted it on Thursday. And the president has stated it categorically that the March 26th date is sacrosanct.
You said you purchased your form on Tuesday and you submitted on Thursday. Let's talk about the form. From what I gather, it was 5 million naira for a form. Am I right?
Yes, you're very right.
Do you think that that price is fair, knowing that for a youth leader position, that means it's for young people? How many people can actually afford it? Doesn't that already weed out people?
For me to say that the price is fair, it's not being in tune with the reality of things on ground. And if we are trying to get young people involved in politics, especially in political party activities, must understand that these people do not have these resources lying around. 5 million is a lot. And even myself, my entire form fee was raised via fundraising. And you know, my supporters from all over the country came together and decided that, yeah, we know that this money is a lot, we can fundraise for you. And within the space of 28 hours, they fundraised the entire fund. So to that extent, the form might be expensive, but that's part of things that my first thought is that we need to make a very strong argument for young people in the party, especially with regards to purchase of nomination form. If we don't do that, we are basically disenfranchising them using the politics of financial disenfranchisement. But again, the viability of every candidate is based on how he is accepted nationwide. So if the popularity of the candidate is there, I think a lot of people are going to be invested in that race. And that's what happened in my case. Okay. Because let me be very, very discouraged.
Let's talk about the internal democracy of your party right now. And how confident are you in the process of selection? We know that your party, because of the Electoral Act, there is direct primaries, there is indirect primaries, and there's also the issue of consensus candidates. How confident are you in the internal process of your party that after purchasing this form and spending so much and doing all the work of campaigning, that it would actually be based on merit for you to emerge?
A political party is a wide array of political interests to protect. And three options that are available to us: indirect primaries, direct primaries, and consensus. Now, the consensus option is usually the first point of call. Because if you are able to talk to, if you are able to get, you know, the aspirants to agree not to, you know, go into into an elective situation and everybody is on board, you know, concessions will be made, concessions will be taken and all of that stuff, you know. So that in itself is a good thing. I am one of the beneficiaries of some sort of concessions like that. Because when this race started, we had over 28 people running for the office of the National Youth Leader. And when the position was zoned to the southwest, 19 of these aspirants collapsed their structure to work to stay. So that in itself is a sort of consensus. If the consensus doesn't work, confident with the internal democracy process and party spirit supremacy is important. All of the states are represented on the NWC. Most of the states are represented on the NWC and the National Executive Council of the Party. So, all in all, what I'm trying to tell you is that if the consensus doesn't work, we're going to a compromise. I mean, the president can only advise, party leaders can only advise, it's only been zoned.
So, you're saying that you are very confident of the process?
Yes, I am very confident.
Okay. So let me ask you this then. If you say, because it was zoned to the southwest, but the governors of the state still have a say, right? Like your governor still has to nominate you, doesn't he?
That's not the way it works.
Okay.
The way it works is the governors can, you know, within themselves, they do what's called microzoning. And the microzoning is done in such a way that they try to balance the positions that were zoned to the southwest among themselves. This is just like a suggestion, it's not an official thing, you know.
You are from which state?
I am from Lagos State.
You're from Lagos State?
Yes. The zoning has been done to the southwest.
Yes.
The microzoning happens with the governors of all the southwest states and stakeholders sitting together to say, okay, how do we zone? They give us 11 positions for the party to our zone. Now, in the southwest, we have national secretary zone to us, we have national vice chairman, a statutory position, we have a national disability leader, we have national ex officio, and we have a national youth leader. These are the five NWC positions that are in the southwest. So, there are 6 states in the southwest. So obviously it can't go around. So they do it block by block. And they do it in such a way that they try to sell, they can balance it out. Now in Lagos, if it seems it has microzoned to Lagos, Lagos has the right to say, okay, we are presenting one candidate, the consensus candidate from Lagos. Yeah? That you are able to, if there are no other contestants from Lagos anymore, but if there are more than one people contesting in Lagos, the process of the nomination is done by, when you get your form, 90 members of the party across the two political zones have to be the ones to nominate you.
Right now, it's been zoned to the southwest, but it's not been micro-zoned yet. When is that supposed to happen?
It has been micro-zoned.
To Lagos?
Yes.
And so you expect that now that it has a micro-zone to Lagos, you will be the one who emerges?
Well, yes, that's the idea. But like I said, I'm not the only one contesting in Lagos. So it's left to the leaders to now say, let's try and get the consensus to Lagos.
If they ask you to step down, would you do that?
I'm not going to step down for anybody because I believe it's my democratic right to actually pursue this election. I don't mean it in a bad way. In Lagos, we believe in democracy. And I believe that depending on how these matters are raised and brought to bear, we'll be able to talk it out to our leaders. And I believe, and from the body language of our leaders in Lagos, it will actually be, you know, thrown open because the national police.
Just very briefly, tell me about your agenda for the young people in your party.
Okay, so I have a manifesto titled Eliminating the Rat Race. The whole idea behind it is to ensure that we create better opportunities for our young people in the party so they don't have to use themselves to begging for appointment, electoral positions. We are trying to do a youth driven campaign for 2023. We are going to have our own youth council campaign organization nationally, where we will go and preach the gospel of the APC to young people of our generation. But again, we are also looking at a situation where we are going to establish a law enforcement abuse desk in all the state leader offices, so that young people of our party, and even those who are not members of our party, as long as they are young people, can report cases of police brutality or law enforcement abuse, which we intend to work in partnership with the police complaint response unit to ensure that every issue that is escalated is resolved. We're also looking at continuing our youth, progressive youth conference, a kind of yearly summit where young people from across the country come together to discuss and come up with communiques to improve our participation within the party and for our inclusion. Ever since this party has been formed, there has been no youth directorate to the party. So young people are reduced to waiting until the election period for them to be engaged in party activity. So within the first 100 days, I'm hoping to lobby and get a youth directorate in place. The youth directorate will be in charge of creating activities all year round. It will just be the electioneering solution only. That way, we'll be able to have our people, our young people, more invested in this party.
Do you think that you can convince Nigerian youths to give the APC another chance, given the state of the nation? For a lot of young people, it's been tough economically.
Yes, as a member of this party, I've been witness to the fact that for the past 16 years, young Nigerians have been subjected to all sorts of disinformation campaign. Most people don't want to hear or believe that this administration is doing anything. And in 2014, when we ran President Muhammadu Buhari for president, most young people were not comfortable with him because of his age. And we made it a point of duty, and that's where the issue of the youth driven campaign is coming. There's nobody that can articulate better the achievement of our administration in the last 8 years better than the young people of the party who follow these things religiously. So our belief is that we'll be able to use that platform and actually, hold town hall meetings where we'll discuss and explain to them the achievements of this party. Yes, we are not perfect, we're not where we want to be, but we are not where we used to be. The APC is going to represent to a report for 8 years. And our belief is that Nigerians, if properly enlightened on the achievements of this administration, they would understand that even though it is not very perfect, the party has made a good foundation for how progressive moving forward Nigeria should look like.
Thank you very much, Mr. Segun Dada, for talking to
me. You're welcome.
Brisola Abiola is a 31-year-old woman running for the position of the National Youth Leader, and she is from Ogun State, the only female running for this position. She tells me in this interview that she doesn't have information that this particular position has been microzoned to Lagos, unlike what Dada told me. Thank you for talking to me, Risola. You are running for the position of the National Youth Leader of the APC. You've purchased your form and you've submitted it. Do you think that the price of the form is fair, or do you think it's exorbitant, considering the fact that this is a form for young people? How many young people really can afford it?
So I would say that in today's economy, 5 million is a lot of money. People with disabilities are permitted to pay 50% of the cost of nomination forms as a form of affirmative action to encourage them to participate in the political process. But, even at that, 2.5 is still a lot of money for a lot of women, for a lot of people with disabilities, even for a lot of young people generally.
Yes.
But then the cost of the form for the youth leadership position was not fixed separately for the cost of the form for other positions generally. So the difference was for national positions and zonal positions. Okay. At the zonal level, funds cost 500,000, which I believe is a lot more accessible for young people. And then, of course, the same concession applied for women and people with disabilities, that is paying 50%. So, you know, at that level, it's actually a lot more accessible for young people, for women, for people with disabilities, for Nigerian children. But, you know, the NWC form was fixed at 5 million. For positions outside of the chairmanship. I think chairmanship was about 20 million. But, you know, if I become youth leader, God willing, if I'm elected by a delegate, one of the things that I've taken as a priority for me is the cost of nomination forms for young people. At the moment, there is affirmative action for women and people with disabilities that they pay 50% of the cost of nomination forms. But I believe this should also extend to young aspirants. And I'm talking about young men now who are aspiring elected post within the party.
Yes, you're going against very strong candidate for this position. How confident are you that you're going to emerge successful in this venture?
I believe all of those who have come forward for the position of a national youth leader are from Lagos State and Ogun. I'm about the only candidate from Ogun now. And in Lagos, there are about three of them. So I would say that we're all very focused, we're all very determined, we're all working hard, you know, campaigning, doing our homework. Why do I think I have a chance? I think I have a chance because I'm qualified. I've done quite a lot of consultations, even prior to the zoning formula being announced. And the reason it seems to people like I'm just running the race is because I did not go public with my intention to run until the zoning had been confirmed. But prior to that, we've done a lot of consultations, and a lot of work is still being done. My candidacy has been endorsed by youth formations in the Northwest and Northeast, with more industries pouring in daily. So there's actually a lot of work that has been put in so far.
The understanding I got was that it was micro-zoned to Lagos. You are from Ogun State. How does that work?
Yeah. Okay, so regarding micro-zoning, what we have officially is that the position has been zoned to the Southwest, and then it was further micro-zoned to Lagos and Ogun. Because if there are clusters in each region, Lagos, Ogun, Oyo, Osun, Ondo, Ekiti, so they're grouped into clusters, and certain positions were micro-zoned that way. Now, if you look at those who have indicated interest in positions zoned to the Southwest so far, like we have people running for secretary from Oyo, we have people running for secretary from Osun, we have people running for secretary, I think also from the Ondo, Ekiti Agbis. As of this moment, there has been no official communication regarding micro-zoning, and that's why I went ahead to pick up my phone. I have not been told that
told now that after picking up your phone that is micro-zoned. What do you do?
When we get to that bridge, we'll cross it.
You'll cross it. But what if you're told to step down for somebody?
So if I'm told to step down for someone, I think, again, that is a decision that will be made when we get to that point. When we get to that bridge, we will cross it. As at this moment, I cannot give a response to hypothetical situations. That hasn't happened. And what I did, the last communication I got was to prepare for a contest, which is essentially what we are all doing.
If somebody still has to say step down for another person, maybe the governor of your state or another state, doesn't it just show that there's no reason to be campaigning and spending so much money when the governor or a godfather in court will still have to decide who exactly takes the position?
So as I said earlier, as of this moment, that's a very hypothetical situation. And considering the amount of interest that has been shown in various offices zoned to the region from across different states in the region, I would say that the process has been very democratic so far, and everybody's actually looking forward to proving their mettle on the convention grounds on Saturday. So as of this moment, the general opinion is that we're heading into a contest. And if that has to change along the way, it's going to be based on consultation. We'll all put heads together, decide on what is best for us as a people, as a region, and as a party. That scenario is very hypothetical for the time being.
There are people who have attacked you and said that, but you left the party. Why do you want to come back now and become a national youth leader? You have not been loyal and things like that. What do you say to those kind of statements?
Okay, so first off, I got back to the party in 2019, immediately after the elections were over. Mm. And quite a number of people are aware of the circumstances that led to me leaving the party in the first place. And throughout my campaigning period, throughout the election process, process. I have the support of a good number of our leaders and other people that I remain rather close to within the youth wing. So if things are being put out of context now, it's because, well, we're in the middle of a political context, and people will naturally try to look for things to discredit those they consider their opponents. Now, since I returned to the party, I have made contributions that not many have. And before I left in 2018, due to the complications at home, I had made a lot of contributions to the APC. And when I returned to the party in 2019, I have continued making those contributions. During the membership registration exercise, I started a campaign across the 6 Southwestern states, calling on young people, calling on women to join the party in their numbers. Every time I'm in Abeokuta, in my home state, Ogun, I'm on radio engaging the people, promoting the work being done by the APC administration, my governor, Mr. Fabiodun, talking about, you know, initiatives by his administration, calling on people to support them, to support the party. We have the Progressive Young Women, which I also started after I returned. You know, it was about promoting young women's political inclusion. I was part of the, you know, planning committee for the recently held Progressive Youth Festival. I've been part of other national assignments, the Progressive Youth Conference. I was on the Media Stock Committee. I was part of the Edo Election Campaign Committee in 2020. So now, when people say things like she just returned to the party, the question is, what do you mean by just? I was asked to come back home immediately after the elections in 2019, and I agreed instantly. In June of 2019, during my next visit to Abeokuta after the polls, I picked up my membership card. So, like, when people say things like she's just joining the party, that's absolutely untrue. I have been working a lot at home, especially at the grassroots level. My foundation has empowered members of the party. Every single thing I do, I make sure that members of the party benefit from me. So when people say she's not loyal, how else do you define loyalty? How else do you define commitment? And at the time I left, I had the option of going to the PDP. I was working at the National Assembly as an aide to the Speaker of the House. The PDP had two factions in Ogun State. One was led by Honorable Nadia Adebutu, who was a member of the House of Reps. The other was led by late Senator Buruji Kashamu, who was in the Senate. If I wanted to run on the platform of the PDP, like I was advised to, it would have been possible for me because I had relationships with people who could have influenced either of those men or even both of them. So perhaps maybe they could have come to an agreement regarding me running on that platform. I would have stood a much better chance of winning my election if I had run on the platform of the PDP. But I did not explore that option because I am absolutely averse to everything that the PDP stands for. So if I went to a smaller party, despite knowing that it would affect my chances as a candidate, and then I chose to run on that platform and not go to the PDP because I wanted to stay true to the progressive ideals, who are they to tell me that I'm disloyal? We have a lot of people who stayed back in the party in the 2019 election cycle, who walked against the party because they were not satisfied with conditions at their respective state or even at the federal level. Those people are still members of the party today. And it's not even a secret, you know, about the things that they did during the 2019 election cycle. With me, where I am will always be where I am. I have never worked against the interests of the APC while being a member of the party, and that will never happen. So as long as I'm a member of this party, I will give it my all. Could I have handled the situation better? Yes. Would I do the same if the same situation played out now? The answer is no. But for someone to then come and tell me that because I was away for 6 months, they want to erase all the work that I did before they left and after I returned, they must really be joking, and I'm not going to stand for it. So people are free to say whatever they like, but my track record speaks for itself. I have given my all to this party. I have given my all. I have invested my time, my resources, everything. So if anybody thinks they're going to campaign and use propaganda against me, they really must have another thing coming because I am continuing with my campaign and the reception has been good.
What is your agenda for the APC youths?
So the key thing for me as youth leader would be to deliver the youth vote. We have a large youth demography in Nigeria, and we all know that voter apathy is a key issue amongst Nigerians and especially amongst the young population. Now, I have worked in youth advocacy all of my adult life, so I understand Nigeria's youth population. I can speak to them, I can engage them, and I believe my capacity in this field has been proven over time. So delivering the youth vote will be my first priority. Secondly, working on enhancing youth inclusion is also true, and I'm talking about appointed positions and elected positions. The APC-led administration has done well with lowering the age of eligibility, but we need to take it a step further by helping our young aspirants get elected. If I get elected as youth leader, it's going to be pretty close to the party primaries, but I do have plans in motion to ensure that when elected, God willing, we have a support structure for our young candidates to support them with everything from properly equipping their volunteers and campaign staff to fundraising to legal services so that we help our young candidates increase their chances of being elected. I believe also that beyond just elected positions, we also have to work at current appointed positions for our young people. I've also been aided by the National Assembly. I have legislative experience. I know how the process of legislation works. And this is experience that I will bring to bear in the service of our young people by working to ensure that young people are better represented also in appointed positions. We need laws and we need policies that will help make this possible.
Yes, can you convince Nigerian youth to give APC another chance, given the state of the economy of the nation, from insecurity to economic insecurity as well? Do you think that you can convince the young people in Nigeria to give APC another chance in 2023?
We recently held by elections in a number of constituencies, and I believe the APC won in most of them. I do a lot of grassroots engagement. I do a lot of youth engagement. The level of acceptance with the party within the general youth population is actually nowhere near as bad as people try to make it seem. That said, we have also done quite a number of things that we can promote. We have the youth investment fund. This administration has introduced the most aggressive social investment program in the history of this country. We have quite a number of achievements that we can point to in the area of youth development, economic empowerment. Things are not perfect, but these are things that we can also put forward, and people have known that we have worked on and they have seen results. So the government has not done so badly that there is no way we can speak to young people and secure their buy-in for 2023.
Thank you so much, Ms. Fela, for talking to me. According to the APC, 26th of March is sacrosanct for the convention to hold. And the candidates certainly believe this. Both do not seem keen on dropping out of the race, even if they are asked. Even though the party does have at its disposal direct primaries, indirect primaries, and the option of a consensus candidate. The APC has had issues with internal processes in the past. So will the party process be credible enough to accommodate this contest and, of course, aspirations of different candidates under the APC? Thank you for listening to Beyond the News podcast. Another episode will come your way soon.